Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, we've been looking the past few weeks at who we are in God's eyes. And today, I wanted to take a look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." So we, as Christians, are citizens of heaven. And I think one of the things we have to do is we kind of have to look at that in terms that the Apostle Paul saw citizenship. The overall scripture lesson, again, from Philippians chapter 3, starting from verse 17 and going through chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." This is God's word for God's people. You see, we all consider ourselves here, I think, citizens of the United States of America, because that's where we live. I'm pretty sure everybody here is a citizen. Is there anybody here who's not a citizen? Is there anybody here who emigrated to the United States? Was everybody here born in the United States? Okay, so I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say we all take for granted the fact that we're citizens, and a lot of times we don't even really understand what that means. There are certain rights and responsibilities that we have in being citizens. I was looking the other day at the Department of Immigration's website just to see what our rights as citizens in the United States are, and they list these as our rights. We have the freedom to express ourselves. We have a freedom to worship as we wish. We have a right to a prompt, fair trial by jury. We have the right to vote in elections for public officials. We have the right to apply for federal employment requiring U.S. citizenship. We have a right to run for elected office. And we have the freedom to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are our rights. Now, when we're talking about our citizenship being in heaven, it's a little bit different. Because citizenship in the Roman Empire, when Paul was talking, was different. You see, Paul was fortunate enough to actually be a citizen of Rome. And not everybody living in the Roman Empire was a citizen. That needs to be made clear. In fact, in our American history, there was a time when not everybody living here, not even everybody who was born here, was really considered to be a citizen. There was a time in our history where in order to be considered a citizen in the United States, you needed to own land. In the Roman Empire, where Paul is talking about in order to be a citizen of Rome, you had to have been in some form of public service. The easiest way to do that was to have served in the military. So really, a small percentage of the people in Rome could be considered citizens. The rights of a Roman citizen were much fewer than those that we have. And these are some rights that certainly if we go through the book of Acts, we can see in Paul's ministry, he exercised these. The first right of a Roman citizen was the right to not be tortured without a trial. So a local magistrate could just yank somebody off the street, accuse them of something, not give them a trial, and torture them for it. But they couldn't do that to Paul. We as Christians claim this same right under God. Not that God tortures people, certainly, but we certainly believe that we as citizens of heaven have rights. God doesn't torture people, but the devil does. We have the right to not be tortured by Satan. We have the right to not be tormented by him. That is not to say that everything in our lives is going to go well. That is not to say that he is not going to trip us up and not going to stumble us, cause us to stumble. But certainly, he can get his hands on us less than we'd like, or less than he'd like. The second right of the Roman citizen is the right to an appeal before the emperor. So after your trial, as a Roman citizen, you have a right to say, you know what, I disagree with your opinion, I disagree with this verdict, and I demand to speak to the emperor. And that's how Paul eventually made it to Rome, was he was sentenced to death for preaching the gospel. They called it insurrection, but he said, you can't do this to me, I am a Roman citizen, I would like to appeal before the emperor. So he was sent to Rome, and though he did not actually meet, I don't think he actually met with the emperor, but he met with representatives of the emperor, and they still put him to death. But he had that right to appeal, just as we as Christians have a right to appeal to our emperor, to God. We have the opportunity to go to him at any time we want to, not just because he is our father, but because he is our king, and we as citizens of heaven have this right. And one day when the judgment comes, we will appear before him, and we will be able to appeal our case before him. Fortunately, Jesus will be our advocate. He is much smarter than I am. And we will not face the same judgment as non-believers, because as citizens of heaven, we have this right. The third and final of the rights of a Roman citizen was the right to enter Rome. You see, Rome, the capital city of the Roman Empire, was such a place that they wouldn't let just anybody in. If for whatever reason you decided you wanted to go to Rome, you could show up at the gates of the city and they could just say to you, no, you can't come in. But if you were a Roman citizen like Paul, you could just go in. You were welcome there. We likewise, as citizens of heaven, have the right to enter into heaven. And just so that we're clear on this, we can go whenever we want. We do not have to die in order to go to heaven. Did you know that? There's a lot of people look at heaven as this place in the future where we go when we die. But we as citizens of heaven have a right to go there any time we want. Wherever we go can be heaven, even on this world. It's a matter of our hearts. It is a matter of what we make it. And just so we know that this really isn't our world, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they curse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Scripture tells us that we are aliens and strangers in this world. You know, we might consider ourselves to be citizens of the United States, but when it gets down to it, even though we're responsible for behaving as such, our home is heaven, not just in the future, but now. And as such, we also have responsibilities. Again, from the Department of Immigration, these are the responsibilities of the American citizen to support and defend the Constitution, to stay informed of issues affecting your community, to participate in the democratic process, to respect and obey federal, state, and local laws, to respect the rights, beliefs, and opinions of others, to participate in your community, to pay income and other taxes honestly and on time to federal, state, and local authorities, to serve on a jury when called upon, and to defend the country if the need should arise. Those are our responsibilities. Likewise, as citizens of heaven, we have responsibilities to heaven as well, and responsibilities to God. Chief among those responsibilities, I really think, is for us to represent heaven well. Again, going back to the verse in 1 Peter, it says we are to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse us of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You know, such representation is not listed as our responsibilities as Americans, but we do kind of have that responsibility, don't we, when we visit a foreign place. We have an opportunity there to show people what Americans are like. Do you ever heard the term ugly American? I think if I was to go to a foreign country, I would probably be that guy. You know, if I was to go to a country where they didn't have the courtesy to speak English, they didn't have the courtesy to learn my language, I'd have to yell at them really loud until they got what I was saying. And they would think all Americans are like that if they've never seen an American before. they would think, wow, the English language is really loud. But as Christians, don't we represent that as well? There was a young man walking down the street on a Sunday morning. It was kind of warm out. And he was walking down the street, just kind of minding his own business, and he heard music. He was walking past a church, and he heard the organ playing, and it was so beautiful, he wanted to see what was going on. So he kind of walked into the church a little bit and saw there were all kinds of people in here. And he had never been in a church before. There's all kinds of people here, and they're listening to the music. And he didn't really notice that everyone was dressed better than he was. He was wearing a t-shirt and some cut-off jeans and not wearing any shoes. Didn't notice that everybody else was, you know, dressed in their Sunday best. And so he figured, well, I'll just go in and listen to music. So he goes in and he's walking down the center aisle of this church looking for a place to sit. And the church was pretty full. He couldn't really see any place. So he gets to the front and just sits down on the floor in front of the pulpit and is listening to the music. Well, the ushers are all standing in the back of the church. What's he doing here? Isn't somebody going to do something about this? So the oldest and wisest of the ushers says, gentlemen, I will take care of it. He walks up to the front of the church where the young man is sitting and sits down on the floor next to him. I don't know who said it, but someone once said that you might be the only Bible anyone ever reads. As Christians, we have the responsibility to show the world what a Christian is about, the way we live our lives, what we do and what we say. And there are bad examples out there. I don't know the name of the preacher who was doing this. But the problems we've been having in California and Florida with this recent trial, I don't remember the young man's name, Robin. The Trayvon Martin. Okay. Yeah. Well, once his trial occurred and his trial's in Florida and they're threatening riots in California, I'm not sure I get it. But one of the civic leaders in California who was urging them to riot is a minister. And I saw a thing on Facebook. It was a picture of this particular pastor. I don't remember his name, but I've heard him speak and I've heard some of the things he said. And it was a comment that to the effect of a real reverend would not incite violence for personal gain. And I don't usually share stuff like that, send that kind of thing around on Facebook, but I did. I passed it along to the people who look at my Facebook page. And I've been criticized for this. This man does not represent the kingdom of heaven well by inciting violence. And people are going to see this is what the church does. As a pastor myself, I think one of the things I need to do is to stand against that kind of thing. As Christians, I think we need to stand against that kind of thing. God calls us. Jesus calls us. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, making disciples. There's a preacher I heard preacher we can hear on the radio. His name's Adrian Rogers. Is anybody familiar with him? I forget the name of his ministry, but he's one of the TV or radio evangelists. He says, we are not all preachers, but we can all be reachers. It is our responsibility to, at the very least, show the world how a Christian lives. And sometimes we don't do a very good job of that. Another great example I heard once, there was a police officer driving down the street, or a woman driving down the street, and she gets pulled over by a police officer. And then she's bothered because she was in a hurry to get to where she was going, and she doesn't have time to be pulled over by the police. She's starting to get angry as she's rooting through her purse looking for her driver's license and registration, because she knows that's going to come up. And suddenly she hears a voice calling from the loudspeaker on the police car, stop your engine, get out of your car, and put your hands on the hood. Well, she was shocked by this. So she gets out, she's a little bit confused. Excuse me. She gets out and does as she was told. The police officer comes up to her with his hand on his gun, gets up behind her, puts the handcuffs on her, puts her in the back of the police car. And he's talking on his radio for a while, and he looks at her driver's license and registration. And after a while, he finally pulls her out of the police car and takes the handcuffs off her, and is very apologetic. He says, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I'm really very sorry. And she says to him, well, what's the problem? What's going on here? He said, well, I been following you for a while, and I saw you cut some people off, and I saw you gesturing at other drivers, and I couldn't help but notice on the back of your car you have one of those little silver fish and a bumper sticker that says, honk if you're on your way to Sunday school. I assumed you had stolen this car. Do people look at you as a Christian and know that's who you are and know that's what you represent? And do you represent it well, citizens of heaven? Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike license. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today, I believe, is citizenship. Heaven is where we as Christians belong. It's not only where we want to go, it's where we belong, and it's where we can be now. We live our lives the way God intends. It's not just a someday place, it's a now place, it's a today place. If we follow Jesus, that's where we are. We have that right. And we have that responsibility to show people the way there as well. It's God's will that no one should perish. It's up to us to make sure that happens. And I read the quote from Adrian Rogers, "We are not all preachers, but we can all be reachers." There was another statement I heard not long ago. I tried to find out who had said it earlier today. I couldn't figure out who said it, but the statement go. Every Christian is either an evangelist or a fraud. We are evangelists, every one of us, by the way we show our lives. Are we setting a good example or are we setting a bad one? That's up to you to figure out for your own life. But for now, this service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place and be blessed, dear citizens of heaven. Amen.